Welcome back to another episode of the PAX What She Said podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts, Maggie Loney, joined as always by Perry Goldstein. And the 4-2 Packers are at home again this week. Second straight Lambeau Field week hosting the Houston Texans. It is the start of a 2-game AFC streak for them. And then they're going to wrap up the AFC South already. They played the Colts already. They played the Titans, play the Texans this week, and then they play the Jaguars next week. So get that AFC contest completely out of the way for them early in the season, which feels kind of rare to have all four division opponents within the first 8 games of the season. But here we are.
Whatever the schedulers want to do, I guess. I think this one is one you and I have had circled on our calendar for quite a while since the schedule came out. This is to up-and-coming young stars at the QB position going head-to-head. Well, obviously, we know the quarterbacks don't actually play each other, but, you know, for the fun and the drama of it all, CJ Stroud versus Jordan Love. Playing in the early slot, which I find surprising that it got scheduled that way, but hey, what do you want? Either way, aside from the quarterback position, this is a really fun matchup. I think both teams match up really interestingly to one another, which we'll get into. They both have really stacked rosters, quite frankly, from top to bottom, and have had interesting starts to the season. Both have high aspirations for deep playoff pushes. So they're kind of each other's AFC, NFC counterparts, I think. And there's a good reason why.
Yeah. I mean, some familiar faces there, of course. Danielle Hunter, we'll talk about one of the mainstays on that defense that they traded for or that signed with them this season. Obviously, Jonathan Grenard heading over to the Vikings. They kind of did an edge swap. And so far, it's worked out for both teams. I mean, they both have looked really good in their respective new jerseys. But yeah, this is a 5-1 Texans team. We talked about it a little bit pre-show. All of their wins, except for last week against the Patriots, which caveat is it's the Patriots, have been one score wins, which so while, you know, they are, it's impressive that they're 5-1, they are beating, they beat the Bills. It's a really, you know, good game. Yes. But so I don't know where to rank them as a 5-1 team. It's kind of tricky. Obviously they had their one loss of the season to the Vikings in week 3, and that was a pretty tough loss for them. They lost 34-7. So a blowout in Minnesota, but here, I mean, they have weapons in every phase on both sides of the ball. So it'll be a test, probably the best team that the Packers have seen yet this season, unless maybe you asterisk the Vikings there.
Definitely asterisk the Vikings since, you know, they're undefeated and they beat both the Packers and the Texans. But I think certainly like one of the more talented teams, maybe not best, but most talented. And I think the Texans, if I was a Texans fan, I would say this roster and this team isn't even playing up to like my expectations or my standards yet. And the fact that they're 5-1 says a lot about this team, that they're even winning, not playing up to their best football. And eventually it's going to get turned on, right? We just hope from a Packers perspective that it doesn't get turned on whilst they're playing the Packers.
Yeah, it can get turned on in week 8, but yeah, this is a tough one for the Packers. And The Texans feel like they're finally kind of clicking a little bit, right? They were hovering around 23, 24 points their last couple games, and they just needed the Patriots. I guess that was their elixir, and they put up 41 on offense, even without Nico Collins. He's going to be out for multiple weeks, so they don't have him. He was their top receiving threat for a while, at least to start the season, but still obviously have Stephon Diggs, still have Tank Dell. They're getting back Joe Mixon. He played last week after being out for 3 games. So really firing on all cylinders. And except for, of course, Collins, all their stars are ready and available for them on the offensive side of the ball. CJ Stroud playing really well, 10 touchdowns, only 4 picks. So it's going to be a tough one for this defense.
Only 2 behind Jordan Love. Dalton Schultz, really solid tight end playing for them. Laremy Tunsil, one of the better left tackles in the league that the Packers will go up against. I'd be curious to know like how their line is playing across the league at the moment. But, you know, this pass rush hasn't exactly been getting after bad lines either. So You know, it'll be a tall order, especially with CJ Stroud being not like known as the mobile quarterback, but mobile enough to evade pressure. So maybe they can get to him, but I would like to see them dial it up a little bit. We've seen Jeff Hafley dial it up just a tad the last like week or two. And I expect that to continue.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think that the Packers defense, you know, it's favorable for them to be at home by all accounts. It looks like it's going to be a really nice game on Sunday. Nice weather in the 60s, I thought I saw, which is very rare for an October in Wisconsin. But unlike last week where we thought that it was going to be a lot of running the ball in kind of that cold, windy conditions, should just be a nice sunny day for both teams, which makes me think that both of these quarterbacks are going to air it out a ton because it's what they both like to do and they're both good at doing that. So what are your thoughts on how this defense can kind of stifle CJ Stroud? Because I think if they get going, both of them, and this goes for Jordan Love too, could be a really high scoring game.
I think it's going to be a really high scoring game too. I mean, I'm curious to see how Joe Mixon looks coming back off the injury, whether he's like full go or if he's still stifled a little bit.
I think he had 100 yards last week against the Patriots. So I think he's just back. I think he's just good to go.
Okay. Well, then I think stopping Joe Mixon on the ground is like 1A, because if you can't do that, then you're going to open up like the full passing game for CJ Stroud and that offense. And it's probably a little bit game over at that point, not game over, but you're going to end up in a shootout. And as a fan of football, allegiances aside, do I think a shootout in this game would be really freaking fun to watch? Yeah. Do I want that as a person who wants the Green Bay Packers to win this game? No. Because I think the Packers have the manpower and the ability to do that, to go toe-to-toe with this offense, but you want to be able to shut down one of or multiple of their weapons. I think Jaire Alexander naturally goes on Stephon Diggs, I think, all day. I think you have the plan that you had last week. The defensive plan that you had last week worked, and you put it to the test again. They have more weapons than the Cardinals do, certainly, but covering Stephon Diggs, covering Dalton Schultz, making sure you have your second, whoever is the second person on the boundary, that's, I guess, remains to be seen at this point, whether it's Nixon, whether it's Stokes, whether it's Valentine. It was Nixon last week on Tank Dell. But I think 1A is stopping Joe Mixon.
Yeah. I mean, I think that the way that the secondary has been playing, you know, bodes well for them in regards to, you know, I'm glad it's Evan Williams and Xavier McKinney out there as the tandem. I like Javon Bullard in the slot. I think that is a nice compliment, you know, to some of these tight ends that they're going to see. Like you said, Dalton Schultz having a kind of quiet start to the season, I guess. No touchdowns yet, but still a formidable threat. Tight ends seem to get going against the Packers. So hoping that's not the case for him this week. But yeah, I think Tank Dell is really tricky because he's so quick. And I don't know if you'd want Keyshawn to be the guy that's guarding him on the boundary. You know, I kind of see him playing more in the slot. So maybe it would be like a Javon Bullard situation. But that could be Stokes. But it's... I don't know. I think it gets kind of messy, but I do think that the secondary is better equipped to play this kind of offense than we've seen in recent history.
They don't seem to have a lot of confidence in Stokes or Valentine. I don't know if it was just game planning for who the Cardinals were bringing to the table or what the deal is, but I definitely am curious to see the comparison between last week and this week in snap counts. Because Keyshawn just doesn't strike me as a boundary corner. He has been asked to do it right in spot duty based on injury and other concerns, but I don't know if they're slotting him out there because, to your point, they prefer Javon Bullard to play in the slot and they just simply want both him and Evan Williams and Xavier McKinney obviously just on the field at all times. So naturally they're moving Nixon over to the boundary, and then that leaves Stokes and Valentine without a job, or if they feel like Stokes and Valentine are just not playing their best ball and that's why they're not playing. I guess we will get our answer this weekend based on snap counts, but I'm curious your thoughts there.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's messy, and I think it's just that nobody's claimed a job yet. And I think Keyshawn, the way that he's been playing at least, has been deserving of the corner two spot, even if it's not normally that we would see him on the boundary. I think if you're looking at, like, as it stands currently, the best five players in the secondary, Keyshawn's probably five. Mm-hmm. And maybe Valentine, you know, kind of usurps him at some point, or Stokes, you know, gets some looks in there. But I think if Jeff Hafley's kind of playing a mix and match with his secondary and he's looking for his five best guys to trot out there, Nixon's been one of those guys. So I'm not sure if that plan, like we said, changes this week, because Tankdale is super speedy and quick and shifty, and he might not match up well against Nixon. I like Nixon as, like, a really physical corner. So maybe that changes and they try Stokes again, but Stokes was, you know, having a rough last couple games. So something I want to talk about with this offense that I think is going to be really the tell of how this game goes for Green Bay is their red zone offense. They're number one in the league in red zone offense. And the Packers defense is 20th in the league in red zone defense. The Packers offense, if we wanted to even talk about that, is 19th. So this is a Texans defense that if they get down there, they're putting up seven. And we've seen the Packers, you know, they can't rely on kicks at this point. So probably going for it in goal to go situations and red zone situations, because every point is going to matter. And the Texans are really, really good at finishing drives. So I think for the defense to win this one, they're going to need to not let them get anywhere near the red zone and hopefully steal a couple balls.
Yeah. I was going to say, I mean, I think the solution to that is just not let them get near the red zone. But I just don't think that that's really a realistic possibility for this Texans offense. So clamping down in the red zone is going to be a really interesting challenge for this new Jeff Hafley defense. You said it, they're bottom in the league right now. So what can they do in those short yardage when, you know, when the field shrinks? We'll see what he can cook up. It has not been their strength so far. And this is going to be their biggest threat, basically, when the Texans come to town, because they are automatic once they get down inside the 20. Field goals, I think, are going to end up, if they do force field goals, like, those are wins in this game.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, this is a Texans offense that, except for that one loss, putting up over 300 yards of offense in every game they've played this season. But I think the counterpoint to that is they've also given the ball up at least once, if not twice, in five straight games. So while they're putting up points and while they're pretty automatic when it comes to the red zone, they are, you know, kind of turnover prone, and they are giving you at least one, if not multiple, opportunities so far every game this season, except of course the first game. So that's worthwhile too, right? Xavier McKinney's streak obviously had to end at some point, didn't get a pick last week. But there will be opportunities, I think, for the secondary. We saw them, you know, Evan Williams with his peanut punch, like, these guys know how to get after the ball and force fumbles. And I think that is going to be really important on Sunday, especially when we talk about how you slow down a guy like Joe Mixon.
Yeah.
CJ Stroud has two fumbles already. So,
two fumbles and four picks. Mm-hmm. You know, the one counter punch I guess the Packers have is their turnover differential, you know, one of the best in the league now. So if you give the Packers the opportunity, they're going to take the ball away from you. And if you have at all any of that weakness in you, it's more than likely going to happen. Now, the answer, I think, to beating a team like the Texans who can and will score points is your offense has to capitalize on those turnovers, which the Packers have not always done this season, the Packers offense. So I have no concerns around the defense getting takeaways in this game, because they've shown consistently that that's something that they will do. But turning those into seven is the next step, I think, in order to win this game.
Yeah, so let's flip it then and talk about this Packers offense, because we've kind of talked about it a little bit already. But what does the offense need to do to attack this defense? They've got five picks so far, 19 sacks. And the Packers, I will say, you know, their offensive line has played well this season, only eight sacks given up through 6 weeks. That's it's pretty significant. Both Jordan Love and Malik Willis have been kept relatively clean. So that will go a long way against a defense that has pretty notable names. Will Anderson, of course, a second year player that I think we sometimes forget about because CJ Stroud was so good that, you know, Will Anderson was right in their first round pick. Danielle Hunter, like we mentioned already, they will be without Mario Edwards, who was suspended. He had multiple sacks for them this season, but still a really nice defensive front and a really nice pass rush.
Yeah, really nice pass rush. Ferocious, I would say, pass rush. I think what they did to Drake May last week was sad. yeah, I mean, you said it already. The Packers offensive line has been playing well. I don't think that they've gone up against necessarily terribly dominant pass rushes so far this season. I'm trying to think of who they've played. I mean, the Vikings, I guess,
probably,
you know, are probably the best so far. But like, as far as tests and challenges go, this is certainly going to be one of them. They're playing incredibly well. So if they can hold up, Josh Myers left the game last week, came back. You know, how is that injury looking? Are they going to still do the rotation with Sean Ryan and Jordan Morgan, or are they going to choose one in this game will be an interesting thing to keep our eyes on. But whether the tackles can handle the edges is going to be really key.
Yeah, and I mean, I think the offensive line has been playing really well. They continue to play really well, and it's nice. We talked about it on the recap show, Jordan Morgan getting out there, getting looks at right guard. He's been playing pretty well on his way back from injury. So it's nice to see their offensive first-round pick getting some looks since we've been talking so much about the defense and what that class has looked like so far. So, yeah, I mean, their defense is really good, right? We just talked about it. I was curious, so I pulled up PFF, and they have a lot of players ranked inside the top 20 at their respective positions. So Danielle Hunter, of course, 10th, Will Anderson, 14th. And their secondary is pretty stingy as well. They've got 5 picks, like we said. We'll see who of them can go on Sunday. I know that, like, Kamari Lassiter was injured, was out.
Jimmy Ward as well.
Jimmy Ward's another one. Yeah but they're Kalen Bullock leads the team right now in interceptions. So fun for their rookie as well. But yeah, I think it's just been a really impressive secondary class, you know, that we've seen so far with these rookies. Javon Bullard, Evan Williams, Kalen Bullock. A lot of talent for these young guys.
A lot of talent. You know, I think in terms of this defense, I still think the Packers are going to be able to move the ball against them. Mm-hmm. I think if they can get the run game going early, then there's pretty much nothing that they can't do. I have full confidence based on the way that Josh Jacobs has been playing that he'll be able to get yardage. And it doesn't even need to be the yardage that he's been getting. It doesn't have to be 6, 7, 8 yards. It can be 3, 4. And that's all you need for the Packers passing attack to get opened up. Just need to see Jordan Love stay accurate. He looked like himself and a lot more accurate than he did his first 2 starts against the Cardinals. A lot of really impressive, like, thread the needle throws. Just have to keep that up, especially against the secondary, who can and will take the ball away if you give them the opportunity. But they have, besides Dontayvion Wicks, who's still day to day, pretty much all of their pass catchers available to them. Mm-hmm. So I think they're going to have every opportunity to get the ball to whomever they want to get the ball to. This is going to be a huge game for Jaden Reed, is my guess. Just like his speed against this defense is going to be key, is my guess. That's my X factor to the game. Not that he's an X factor when he's your best player on offense, but just not that I ever want them to feed anyone the ball, but maybe feed Jaden Reed the ball a little bit. So Jordan Love's accuracy stays sharp. They should be able to move the ball.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it's also, you mentioned it, we talked about it a little bit after the game last week against the Cardinals, but defense doing a good job, or I should say the offense is doing a good job spreading the ball around, right? Yeah. We saw Romeo Dobbs get 2 touchdowns, Christian Watson had a touchdown, so really there isn't a focal point. You know, there maybe is week to week, and, you know, we've discussed how we feel about Jaden Reed being wide receiver one, but The Texans defense is giving up yards on the ground, only 82 last week against the Patriots. But after or before that, in two games, even though they won. They gave up over 150 yards on the ground in both contests. So feels like you have to get Josh Jacobs going. You have to get creative with end arounds. You mentioned Jaden Reed being an X factor there. Bo Melton, we saw do some of that. Christian Watson is capable of doing it. Emmanuel Wilson, maybe Chris Brooks gets some looks. We saw him get some against the Cardinals, but I think moving the ball on the ground is really going to be a way to kill clock, maintain time of possession, sustain those long kind of drives that keep CJ Stroud on the opposite sideline.
Yeah, 100%. Keeping CJ Stroud off the field and not with the ball in his hands is definitely a key to success always. And I think, you know, we mentioned red zone offense for the Texans, the red zone offense for the Packers. I said it with turnovers, but in general, like once you get down there, you have to be turning these into seven, especially against the Texans, whose offense is going to score points. They are going to score over 20. I don't care how well the Packers defense has been limiting opposing offenses in terms of point differential. You know, Packers have one of the highest point differentials in the league right now. The Texans will move the ball and they will score. So the Packers need to keep up. We can talk about special teams a little bit, but like you do not want to be relying on your points when it comes to field goals. And I think if this is a week to really get automatic in the red zone, this is the week. Because kicking field goals against the Texans is not going to get you a win.
Yeah, and just worth mentioning, the Packers did bring in Brandon McManus today for a workout, recording this on Tuesday, October 15th. So we'll see, you know, if there's any traction there. Not sure it would be as quick a turnaround as him coming in and kicking on Sunday if they do sign him anyway, or what that would look like. But potentially a change on the horizon. The Packers certainly doing their due diligence at this point, as they should, to see if there's better opportunities out there for a kicker, because we've talked about it, right? It's a liability, and it's okay against some teams when you're not too concerned about putting up a ton of points or when your defense is playing the way that the Packers defense has been. But we've also seen missed field goals cost the Packers two close games this season, and you can't afford to lose these close games against good teams, especially down the stretch in a really hot NFC and especially in the postseason. So we'll see what happens with that, but let's go ahead and shift over to our final thoughts and our score predictions. What do you got? Who's taking this one?
I'm giving the nod to the Packers because they're at Lambeau, like by three. That's it. I do think that this could turn into a shootout. I think it's been a lot closer of a game than any fan on either side would want it to be. And unfortunately, I think it comes down to one score.
Yeah, my brain is thinking like 35-31, 38-35. And it's tough because I think that anytime your defense gives up that many points, you obviously have concerns. But the Packers defense has played really well. And they've been really stingy with points. And they've kept the Packers in some games while this offense has gotten going. Last week, fortunately for the Packers, was their most complete game of the season. Started hot, finished hot, put together a complete four-quarter performance in arguably all three phases. Maybe special teams was not always doing their share. But yeah, the Packers, I think if they play a complete football game, they can win this game, especially at Lambeau, like you said. But if, you know, some drives stall out early, if the Packers just go three and out right away and the Texans, you know, score on their opening drive, like then it becomes messy. And I think that's where Matt LaFleur and these scripted 15 are going to come in. You know, we'll kind of see the game plan for this Packers offense. But yeah, I do give it to the Packers because they're at home. And I think that they have the ability to shut down what makes this Texans offense really good. But I do agree with you that it's going to be close. And I think we're going to be kind of anxious towards the end of this one, especially if it comes down to a kick in the final seconds.
Yep. Maybe this is Braden Arvinson's, you know, redemption game.
From your lips to someone's ears, Brian Gutekunst's ears, Braden Arvinson's ears. Just, we'll see. But any other thoughts before we wrap this one up?
No, I'm just really, really excited to watch this game. I think it's going to be a really fun one.
Yeah, Packers in their winter warning whiteout jerseys. That's going to be really cool. Really wish, like you said, that they were going to be in primetime, because white under the lights just looks so cool. Packers color rush at Lambeau was always just gorgeous under the Lambeau lights, but it's fine. Noon games are fine. We'll have instant reactions at like 3:30, right? Like, we'll know what happened by 3:30 Central Time. So that's kind of nice. But yeah, we'll wrap this one up and we'll see you here later on after the game. We're already in week 7 and can't believe that the season is flying. We're a third of the way done with it at this point. But thank you as always for listening to the show. You can find the podcast on Twitter at PWSS Podcast, Perry at Perry _ Goldstein, me at Maggie J. Loney. If you're on YouTube, please like and subscribe to the show if you don't already. That means a lot to us. And if you listen on Spotify, consider supporting the show if you have not done that. We appreciate that as well. It's available everywhere you listen to all of your favorite podcasts. We'll be back, hopefully, talking about a Packers win on Sunday. As always, go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.